Hello and welcome once again. We continue in our series in Nehemiah. We're looking at a Bible revival that began in chapter 8, and everything before that is the prelude to that revival. A prelude, we've said, is an action serving as an introduction to something important. We've been looking at these different gates. Today we're going to concentrate on the water gate. It says in Nehemiah 3:26, moreover, the Nephilims dwelt in Orphal, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east. Now, once again, we've said in chapter 8, we read, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So we see here that the revival took place by the water gate. Now the water gate represents the word of God. Our relationship with God's word determines our relationship with the Lord. We see here that this revival was initiated by the people. The people, they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. If you read down through that chapter, they had a desire to understand. Now we know we need a revival when Christians have little time for God. That's where we're living today. When Christians desire a comfortable life and a comfortable pew. When Christians want to control their own lives. When Christians lack discernment. When Christians reject Holy Spirit conviction. When Christians have little commitment. When Christians reject preachers who are scripturally frank. When Christians refuse to seek God's purpose for their lives, and when they reject the word of God. You see, the thing is, they said, bring the book. Now, concerning what happens in order for a revival to come, we read in 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul said to the pastor, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now this word preach, the Bible talks about preaching and the Bible talks about teaching. The word preach means to herald. It means that like a herald would come in on his horse and he would say, hear ye, thus saith the king. He wasn't there to dialogue. He wasn't there to have some kind of a two-way conversation with him. He said, hey, this is what the king says and you better do it or you're going to be in trouble with the king. That's what preaching is. Hear ye, thus saith the Lord. Not a dialogue, not teaching, and there's a place for teaching, very important. But if we're going to see revival, we need to get back to preaching the word. Now, this was a very solemn charge. Paul's final message, as a matter of fact, he said in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Today, preaching the word has fallen on hard times. Today's preaching is focused on making everyone feel good. 2 Timothy tells us the results of a feel-good ministry. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now here's 20 things that'll happen if you're going to just have a feel-good ministry. 1, men will be lovers of their own selves. 2, covetous. 3, boasters. 4, proud. Blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, high-minded and heady, it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It doesn't say they don't love God, they just love pleasures more, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The last thing that Paul is going to say to this young preacher at the church there at Ephesus is, preach the word. Today, well, Lord, we know what your word says, but we found a better way. No, what we need to do is like where we read in Matthew 12:41, they repented at the preaching, Now, we need to understand that not everybody's going to repent. It might be that some people will leave. In fact, it might be in this age of apostasy that the majority will leave. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to keep church full. Our responsibility is to keep church pure. We need to preach the word and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants. Maybe he wants to chase some people away. Maybe he wants a revival. All we need to do as preachers is preach the word. Look at Psalm 119. Go through it. I'm not going to read all of these, but in Psalm 119, we have all of these references to the word. The word. Preach the word. Well, in Nehemiah's revival in chapter 8, we read the people before the water gate spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. Nehemiah 3:26, we read, moreover, the Nephthalims dwelt in Orpah under the place over against the water gate toward the east. Now, it's very interesting to note, in this gate, there's no bars, there's no locks, there's no doors, and there's no repairs. The Bible says, and Jesus said it, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So the problem is not the word of God. The problem is our relationship to the word of God, whether as preachers we're going to preach it, and whether as Christians who hear the word of God, whether we're going to be letting the Holy Spirit convict us and then repent. There's a lot of verses in the Bible talking about Christians repenting, not just unsaved people. Repent. Check it through. Well, if we're going to see revival, we see in the first seven chapters, the prelude to revival, an action serving as an introduction to something that is important. Be sure and be with us for our next program.